Go to Matthew, please. 28. You know, we have a responsibility, and I wanted to share with you one of the believers, Philip, in the first century church, and how he fulfilled his responsibilities to God. But when the Lord was just before he was ascended, he said this to his men in verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came, and he spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You know, now, depending upon what your doctrinal persuasion is, you can take this verse 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." I think that's pretty plain. And then it says, "baptizing them." You can either, there are people who got, this is baptism in water. And that's okay. I don't care if you want to get wet. But it's bigger than that. Baptism in the scriptures is not just about water. You have to read it in context. You know, it's, you're to baptize them. The word baptize means to immerse, okay? In the name of the Father. Now, this is not the Trinity, okay? There is no Trinity in the Bible, but this is where people get this thought, okay? You immerse the people that you speak to, teaching in the name of the Father. You immerse them in the name of who the Son is, the Messiah. And you immerse them in the Holy Spirit. Three huge categories that you are to go out and preach and teach. Jesus Christ made known the Father. The Scriptures make known who the Messiah is. And we've received the Spirit. And you're supposed to look at it. See how, you know, understand how it works. So you can either do the Trinity thing, which I don't believe. You know, in other words, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, that's the way I grew up. You just do the cross. I could do that pretty good. And then, or you can take this for what it says, because he says, "Go therefore and teach." Teach what? Immerse them in God the Father. Show them who, and immerse them in the Son, the Messiah, and immerse them in the Spirit of God. You know, what the Spirit's about, how to walk in it. That would be very good. I believe that that's a more honest way of handling this. And it also makes much more sense when it comes to all rest of Scripture, because there's only one God. You know, and if you want eternal life, you need to know who the Son is and accept Him as Lord and Savior. So, you follow me? It's just, rather than have some big concept that's really not in the Scriptures, why not just teach and immerse people in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit? Go to Luke, last chapter in Luke. Again, this is at the same moment just before he's ascended. And he said unto them, verse 46, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. That repentance and remission of sins, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. This is also at that same very moment. So he teaches, he says, go out and make disciples, teaching them. Father, teach them about the Father, teach them about the Son, teach them about the Holy Spirit. Immerse people in these things. Then he says, the Spirit is coming. The promise of my Father is coming. Acts chapter 1. This is all happening just at the fellowship, just before he's taken up. Acts chapter 1 is the same moment. Again, it gives you a little bit more background information, but it's the same thing. In verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You know, this is what they thought. I mean, the kingdom's coming. They know the kingdom's coming. They're figuring it's now. And you're raised from the dead. You're the king. Is it now? I mean, it's a perfectly logical question, right? Especially for people who really thought this is supposed to happen. We got the Messiah in front of us. And then he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus got them back on thinking what he wanted to communicate. Let's have the kingdom. Let's go. I mean, is this it? He says to them, listen, it's not for you to know when the Father wants to do this. And thank God he didn't do it then, because you and I wouldn't be included. How's that? You weren't even a twinkling in your mother's eye yet. Mom wasn't a twinkling in somebody else's eye yet. So, I mean, just think about that. You know, God's waiting until his family is full. Yeah. But what I want you to think about is you're going to receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you know what your job is? To be witnesses unto me. You're to be witnesses unto me. And you start at Jerusalem. And then you go to Judea, and then you move out to Samaria, and then from Samaria you go to the othermost parts of the earth. That was the marching orders. I mean, we're here for a purpose. Our purpose is not to take care of us. Okay? Our purpose is not about us. That's the God that most people worship, the God of self. You're here for one reason and one reason really only since you've been born again in God's Spirit, and that is to carry out the orders of your Lord. So you do the best, you speak, you tell people about the Father, you tell them about the Messiah, you tell them about the Spirit, you lead them to God. You tell them about the kingdom that's coming, because it's still coming. And they did it exactly the way the Lord told them it was going to be done. They started at Jerusalem. They went to Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Go to Acts chapter 8. I mean, even the directions as far as how it's going to spread was exactly the way it did happen. Everything our Lord said happened the way it was going to happen. So here's an example of a wonderful guy. I love this. I love Philip. But I wanted to give you that background here. This is the mission. This is our purpose. This is the focus. One person, it says in the Gospels, the one lost soul that comes is worth the whole world. Just one. So, we're not talking about you have to go out and get thousands and thousands. Just work on the one. Yeah, just one. And just do it the way the Lord said. Teach him about God. Teach him about Jesus. Teach him about the Spirit. God will show him. God will help him. God will make it known. You know, when they, and I think people got to wait to get kicked from one thing to the other. You know, you ever notice that? It's like, you know, if you're in one location, well, there's no reason to really move. Well, you know, just like God, the Lord knows, you ain't got a reason? Maybe I'll give you a reason, you know? I don't know. But people are comfortable to be where they are. So they started at Jerusalem, and it was many years before then they moved out to Judea. But then you know what really got the word moving? Was a great persecution. People hated them so much. I mean, they hated them. And the more you speak the word, you know, you're not going to become more popular. You know? So you just love people and tell them the truth, but their reaction is not necessarily going to be the one that's logical. They went out and spoke, and people hated them, and then they persecuted them so much they had to leave town. And that's something. This is your job. Okay, so we've been in this house here for, I don't know, since 89, something like that. And so let's say we were really good at what we do and the whole neighborhood hates us and they'd be marching outside on the street and, you know, the news would be out there and they'd be throwing rocks at the door until you had to move. I'm sure these people were praying, oh, God, I'd like to have a peaceful life. But it's not the way it goes. And he already told you in the Gospels they're going to hate you. So, knock the dust off your feet and move on. Look at what happens here. Saul has been persecuting, wreaking havoc on the church. Let's just read verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time, there was a great persecution. I mean, this is not a little persecution. This is not just, you know, somebody have a sign out in front of the door saying these people are from the devil. I mean, this is a great persecution. against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad. And this word scattered abroad doesn't mean they were running for their lives. It means they were planted. They were strategically planted. You know, like seed in a garden. They were planted throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. Here they were at Jerusalem. Hey, guys, it's time to do what I said. So, you got a reason? Persecution? Now, they go out and do exactly what the Lord told them that was going to happen to begin with. They go to Judea, and then they start going to Samaria. Except the apostles. The apostles held their ground. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc. This is the Apostle Paul. I mean, this is going to be the Apostle Paul here. He is making havoc. That's a heck of a word we don't use too often. Of the church. He is very successful at what he does. And he enters into every house and he hails men and women and commits them to prison. So just, you know, here it is. We're here in the house. This is a church home. Home church. Church home, really. You know, we call it a fellowship, but every fellowship, every church in a home, and that's what they had in the first century. They didn't have any of these cathedrals or anything. And they just come into the house and throw you all in jail. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere hiding for their lives. They went everywhere hiding for their lives, desperate to get their life back. Now they went everywhere preaching the word. That was their first thing, first motive, first love, first desire. That was their point. This was their purpose. These were real, genuine, God-fearing people just like you. But they never lost focus of their purpose. And Philip, he went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. Again, you immerse them in what? Well, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. You know, when God's got somebody, when God's got a disciple who does what he wants, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ has got a member in his body who's doing what he's supposed to do, we can work with this person because you're doing what they want. So he went and he started preaching Christ to the people in Samaria. And God was working. Healings, miracles, spirits coming out. God was, because he had a guy, just a regular guy, really speaking about Christ and the kingdom. And God had people in the city. Now, you know what? When Paul went to certain towns, he would do the same thing, and there would nobody believe there. In fact, God said, don't even bother going to that town, because they ain't got nobody there. You can talk all you want in a place where God ain't got nothing, and nothing's going to happen. Jesus went back to his own hometown, remember? When they said, isn't this Mary and Joseph's son? And he couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Just because your mouth moves doesn't mean things happen. You and I need to move our mouth and speak the word. But you'll see the signs, the miracles, the wonders when God's got folks to hear. Do you see what I mean? He's the one that does the job. You just speak. And I'm telling you, he doesn't miss. God Almighty doesn't miss. So he went down, and they saw, and the people gave ear because they see signs, miracles. You know what signs, miracles, and wonders are, right? They are, pay attention, this is for real. It's just an advertisement that this is the real deal. That's what a sign, miracle, and wonder is. That's what a healing is. That's all it is, an advertisement. So, because God wants people, and there was great joy in that city. You go and walk, go ahead and walk downtown. See, is there great joy anywhere you go? Most time people are really grumpy. You ever see somebody unusual when they're walking down the street and all they're just like shining like a light? I mean, they really stand out. I mean, we can have that. Fella asked me a while back, he says, why are you so happy? I said, what you smiling about? But look at verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorceries and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. It's not God is working in the man. It's this man. The man gets the glory. You can always tell the counterfeit from the genuine when you figure out who gets the glory and who's seeking the glory. To whom they all gave heed from the least, this man is the great power God. Verse 11, and to him they all had regard because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip's preaching and the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and he was baptized. And he continued with Philip, wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were immersed in the name. Now, whether water is involved there or not, it's not the issue. Not the issue. You know, when you take a shower, you get clean on the outside, but it ain't changing nothing on the inside. Okay? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were immersed. Whether they went through the ceremony or not, they were immersed in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they hadn't received the Spirit. And this is the first time in the book of Acts that when people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they don't immediately manifest the Spirit of God. The first time. Something's wrong. The apostles had to leave town and come to Samaria and find out what was going on. And they laid hands on him and prayed for him. And then, verse 17, and they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They received it into evidence. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Whoa, I want in on this. You know, it just goes to show, just because you became a Christian doesn't mean you changed everything right all. So be careful. And he said to Peter, can you imagine trying to bribe Peter? This is good, right? I mean, it's like trying to bribe Jesus, right? This is not a good thing to try to do. But Simon is dumb enough to think he's this important and he's got enough money. So he says, verse 19, give me also this power that on whosoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. I want in on this. I can make a living on this now. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish. The word perish is the word rot. Thy money perish rot with thee, because thou thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. He's telling you, drop dead and rot. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent of this, therefore, thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. You pray, you better ask God, that if perhaps, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray you the Lord for me, that none of these things which thou hast spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. A certain guy, I'm going there, I just got thrown out of my house. They're trying to catch me, prison me. My whole life is upside down. It's all going to hell around me. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to speak the word. He's so happy about it, so joyful about it. He preaches Christ to them. The whole city that sees signs, miracles, and wonders, the whole city's full of joy. Even the top idiot of the city, the guy who used to do sorceries over people. And believe me, they're out there. They're out there. Okay? He turns and believes on, but his motives aren't cool at all. He's got real deep spiritual problems. And he tries to buy the power of God to help people manifest the Spirit. Now, I think Peter might have prayed for him after he asked, but it doesn't say. Not important. Point is, God can't be bribed. His word isn't going because of people. It's going to move because of individuals who allow God to work. That's it. You and me, our jobs is to speak it. We got joy in our heart. We love. We speak. We teach the people about God Almighty, the one true God. We teach them about His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We tell them about the Spirit that He has sent. You know, we teach them the Word, the Kingdom. That's what Philip went down there, preached the Kingdom of God. See, the whole book's about the kingdom. The whole book's about the kingdom. You could put Holy Bible, you could put the Kingdom of God on the front cover, and it actually would be more accurate. just choose to be an obedient disciple and go out and teach. Go out and preach. Go tell. If you win one, it's worth the wealth of the entire world. All heaven rejoices. That's all there is to it. Just choose to be one of his faithful disciples. That's what I wanted to share with you.